With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. Right now, we are here with a Manchester United update. Joining us is Joshy, who you can find on Twitter at @doc_Joshy. He's also a contributor over at Full Time Devils. Glad to have you join us. The topic on yesterday's full show was about Jose Mourinho's quote-unquote rant. I say quote-unquote rant because he never really raised his voice, and he had a very kind of clinical process where he had all the stats prepared and everything. But we mentioned some of the things that he brought up there, including United's recent league and European finishes, which he kind of framed as failures. He randomly praised Manchester City. He started attacking journalists and calling out his own players. Curious to get your initial take at the time on Jose Mourinho's comments after the Sevilla loss.
So I didn't actually watch all of that as it happened. I sort of saw it the next day, and I actually saw the reaction to it first before I even saw the actual, you know, the actual press conference. And, you know, in the immediate aftermath of the Sevilla game, I mean, I was angry. That was not that performance was just unacceptable. You know, I'm not saying, you know, nobody expected United to sort of go on and win it. There was no expectation, as it were. You know, there was a hope that we would do well against Sevilla, go through, and there'd be a big fixture, and put, you know, and then anything can happen in knockout competition. But that performance was unacceptable. And this is my immediate reaction to the whole Mourinho rant: was he knew it. That's why he came out and had this 12-minute, not tirade, as you say. He was fairly calculated in what he was saying, but he knew that he fucked up. That was my original reaction, and that's why he's come out and he's sort of drawing the line in the sand and, you know, planting his feet and really bracing himself for the onslaught of criticism that was coming his way, right? So he knew that had happened, and he knew that he'd basically messed up. But at the same time, you know, he's famous and for this, and loads of footballers have come out who have worked under him have come out and said this. He always does this when the players have put in a particularly shoddy performance. It deflects from the players. It deflects away from the individual performances, or at least it's designed to do that to a certain extent. And it has really done that, to be honest, that a lot of the focus has been on Mourinho. A lot of the focus has been on how he set up, and it should be. I think he got a lot wrong, but the players, you know, also have a lot that they should be taking the blame for. And I think the most famous of the footballers that has come out and said is Mesut Ozil. You know, he came out and said that this is what Mourinho does. He deflects away from the players after these really, really bad performances so that he can work on it himself and the players don't have to. He's the one that gets the flack in the press. So I think there's an element of that. I don't think that's the sole reason for it. There's an element of that side of things. There's an element of he kind of knew that he messed up and needed to come out and sort of start kind of stating the case for a lot of the issues that are, or stating his case, and also almost not excuses, but explaining a lot of the issues that are there. And, you know, including City are having a freak season. It's a freak season, just like Mo Salah's having a freak season. I don't think either of them will be doing the same thing again. Doesn't mean City won't win the league again next year, but I don't think it'll be quite as dominant. And, you know, that's amplified the sort of negative picture that United are in. And I think he made quite a few good points, I think, about the players, about the situation at the club, about the situation in the, about the situation of the squad. You know, he made quite a few good points. The problem is he's done it sort of unprovoked almost after a really, really poor performance. And ultimately, I sort of just rolled my eyes and was just like, you know, I can't be bothered to listen to this anymore. I just wanted to, you know, just turn off because I just could not accept this level of kind of not arrogance, but he's pushed the agenda on that one, like 12-minute rant or whatever you want to call it, after a game. That's kind of unusual. And actually the focus should have been on, you know, what's instead of saying what he should, I think he should have come out and said, look, I messed up. The players messed up. We move on. This is not the right, you know, this is not what I expect from the team, and we move on, instead of this whole sort of digging his heels in. So in the immediate aftermath, I wasn't impressed, but having seen the video and some of the comments he's made, I think I can be a bit more pragmatic now and have a bit more of a thinking cap on and say, yeah, he does make good points. And I think he's a very calculated person. There's a reason why he's come out and done this. You know, another theory was that he's maybe putting pressure on the board to start to make sure they sign the players that he wants in the summer without any restrictions. You know, that's why he's calling out Man City as well. And it's another fair point to make. The squad, I mean, we're playing with Antonio Valencia and Ashley Young as our starting fullbacks. They're both converted wingers, both well over 30, both, you know, but well past their best, and they're our starting fullbacks. That's not a foundation to be building title winning sides on, as well as they have played. But in, you know, that's, they have done well and all that kind of stuff, but the unit isn't there at the back. So there's all of these things that come into play, and you know, and now we're here discussing it. I think that's part of his tactics, to bring that out of it as well, is make people discuss him and not specifically the players.
Well, that sounds lovely, but then he kind of keeps calling out the players. We're going to talk about them a little bit because we have fan questions that we're going to try to touch on at the end here, to make up for the fact that we had a City fan talking about this yesterday. But Luke Shaw seems to just be in his targets for whatever reason. Whenever he plays or when he isn't playing, it feels like he can't get through a press conference without taking a dig at Luke Shaw. What have you made of that kind of interaction since he arrived at the club?
So, look, I think there's a few. This is a more complex issue than Mourinho bullying Shaw or whatever some people have said in the press. Because look, Luke Shaw has had criticism follow him around. At Southampton under Pochettino, he was called out for his lack of focus. When he signed at United, Louis van Gaal was extremely surprised at how unfit he was. Roy Hodgson called him out and said, you know, we've had to have a word with him with regards to his fitness. When he joined United, you know, there was a quote maybe a year later when, you know, he went through that period where he sort of hired a personal trainer over the summer, and he came back in this was before his injury, came back and he was really flying. And he did an interview where he said, yeah, I think I did actually take it a bit easy after I joined United. And he's sort of going, well, you know, that's the exact opposite of what you should be doing. You sign for Manchester United, you actually raise your game, you raise everything you do compared to when you're coming from a, you know, no disrespect to Southampton, but it's a different, there are different targets at the club. So you don't come in and take it easy at a club where there's more pressure, better quality players, you should be going for titles. You come in and you step your game up. So it points towards, all of that points just towards a certain lack of mental strength. And it's something that we've, you know, that idea of mental strength is something we've discussed on this pod and I've discussed elsewhere. And I think he there's something within that category, within all the things that make up mental strength for him, it's this commitment and concentration and determination. So when you take that, right, and he you look at this situation with Mourinho, it looked like he was a bit of a goner and Mourinho wasn't impressed. And Mourinho had that whole thing about how he had to, it was almost like he was controlling him from the sidelines. All, you know, that was last season. And then we were all like, okay, maybe this year it will be his season. And then he got back in the side and he had that run of 8, 7, 8, 9 games where he played and he did really well. He looked lean. He looked fit. He seemed to be getting a bit of rhythm back. And we were all like, oh, yeah, OK, this is great. And then even Mourinho came out and said, if this is the Luke Shaw that we want to see, and, you know, at this rate, he'll be United's left back for many years to come, all that kind of stuff. And then suddenly he disappeared again. So, you know, to me, there's something that's not quite right there, whether it's Luke Shaw's mentality, and, you know, he's been called out many managers. So I think it's going to be part of it, because when you see him return to the team as he did a few weeks ago, he visibly looked a lot bigger, heavier, you know, not fat, like we would say fat, me and, you know, like the general public, but for a professional athlete at the highest level, at elite level sport, right? This is a team. This is a club with sports scientists, with dietitians. You can have a chef make sure that you're eating the right stuff. You've got physios. You've got everyone there. It's set up for you to be, you know, in your prime condition. You're training almost every day. You should be playing games once or twice a week. To come on and look like that, to be honest with you, is unacceptable. You know, there's no excuse for it. And this is why Mourinho's digging him out. He gave him praise when it was due, and you can see the difference in the way he looks. He's just rounder and he's thicker. You know, he's always had a bit of a, you know, big ass. That's always been, you know, he's always been what the kids are saying, thick, you know. But this time round, when he's come back into the side, he is just bigger. He's like plodding along as opposed to really, you know, being lean and mobile and quick up and down that wing. So, you know, there is there's a lot of blame that has to go on Luke Shaw. That being said, obviously I don't know what goes on in the background. I have no insight into the training or whatever, but when you're looking at it from all of these things, all the managers that have said these things, and you visibly see that he is bigger, and this is not, I'm not saying he's bigger now compared to 2 years ago, which he is, but bigger now compared to just before Christmas when he was getting in the team. You know, there's something not quite right there off the pitch. So Mourinho is going to dig him out. That's the kind of manager he is, and he has been. Yeah, fair enough. The other side of the coin is, I think Mourinho has probably been a bit, he almost looks like he's targeting him, but he did the same with Mkhitaryan. You know, tried to get him to come out of his shell a little bit, and he did, and he responded. He did it with Anthony Martial last season as well, and he responded, although now that's kind of gone back a little bit it was at a similar state. He's done it with a lot of players over the years, and a part of it is a test, I think. He's testing them. Can they respond? Can they come back into the team and respond, or can they come into training and put that extra effort in? Whatever it is, I don't know what he wants to see from them, but it's clear to me that Luke Shaw at Manchester United just has never quite mentally been there. And I think part of that, obviously, he's been unlucky with injuries. That horrific leg break is mentally, to come back from that is a massive big deal, is a big deal. It's really tough. So I'm not saying Luke Shaw is totally weak, and, you know, he's been through for an elite sportsman, he's been through some pretty bad times from an injury perspective. So, and that can take its toll. But once you've got back in the side like he did, you know, and he looked lean and he looked good, and Mourinho dropping him might have been a test, you know. He might have been saying, all right, let's see how he reacts to being dropped now. And then he may have taken his foot off the gas because he thought he was back in the team or whatever. And now he's not been in the side for a long time. And then coming back, he just looks overweight or not as lean and fit as he should do. So my personal thing is, I probably put more blame on Luke Shaw, because it's a pattern. And the thing is, obviously, people are calling Mourinho out because he seems to be targeting Shaw. But over the course of Shaw's career, every single one of the managers that he's worked under has said something similar. It's just that Jose Mourinho is the highest profile of all of those managers, and he's doing it in a more straightforward kind of way. You know, he doesn't really take it all throughout his career. He'll take people off at halftime. He'll bring you on and then take you off. He'll bring you off up before halftime. You know, he's been that kind of manager, and he'll say things in the press. So, you know, that's that side of things. And So it's a difficult one. I do sympathize with Luke Shaw, but I also, you know, I'm kind of, what's the word, shocked at how a player cannot be in elite condition at a club like Manchester United, where it's all set up for you to be like that. We're not, not talking about down in the lower leagues where you kind of got to do your own cooking and things like that. These guys can get chefs in. They're rich enough to do that if they do, if they got an issue with it. You know, all this stuff. So it does wind me up a little bit that he comes on the pitch looking like that. And, you know, even in the state, though, I will say he's a better left back than Ashley Young. But I think that other than when we played against Mo Salah, but I think that Jose Mourinho doesn't want to. He wants a player that's fully there, not just relying on his talent. And that's what Luke Shaw's doing at the moment. He's a really talented footballer, but he's not applying himself elsewhere. He's just relying on that talent in terms of game, in terms of when he plays, probably in training, and he's not really putting in the extra yards. So I kind of side with Mourinho on that one. He's not the only one to have called out Luke Shaw, but I think because of the current environment at United and the current sort of negativity surrounding Mourinho in the press, anything he says is going to be jumped on. And I don't know about this idea that he's been bullied. I know that there's been some rumors in the press that senior players have said they don't like the way he's treated Luke Shaw and things like that. I don't know, you know, I'm not in the dressing room, so I don't know whether that's true or not. Judging it from my perspective in the press and seeing what's been happening and what other people have said in the past and Luke Shaw's track record, I would side with Mourinho on this one.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting issue between a player that clearly is not motivated by negativity and a manager who basically primarily dishes that out. And to an extent, you'd expect a player at this level to motivate himself, but it's pretty evident that he can't. And it's also pretty evident that Mourinho's management style is not what will get the best out of him.
I think Mourinho is a bit more of that old school type manager. You know, he's still a bit of that kind of rules with an iron fist kind of way. He likes control of everything. You know, this is another issue at United, maybe for another pod, is the idea of a director of football. Mourinho doesn't necessarily work under that model. And he likes to have control over a lot of the aspects that are there, while someone like Pep Guardiola will primarily focus on the coaching. He doesn't really get involved in the running of the club and the overall direction and things like that. So he's a bit old school like that, and this is part of it. You know, some players do like an arm around the shoulder, but then Mourinho's not your man, right? So he's probably going to find out who those players are and then bring in players who aren't going to be like that. And that's probably why Fellaini, he likes him, because Fellaini gets on with it. He's received stick his entire career, just gets on with it. I mean, I don't think he's a great player at all, but Mourinho probably likes the attitude. Similarly with Lukaku, I think his attitude is spot on, and I think that's why Mourinho, you know, just loves him. Same with Matic. You know, when you look at the players that Mourinho has called out and picked on, you know, he singled as Chris Smalling out for praise the other day. I think Chris Smalling is atrocious. I do not want him in the starting lineup. But his attitude, you can't fault his attitude. He's not on the pitch trying to make mistakes. He always puts 100% in. He's always working hard. He's just not good enough, in my opinion. But Mourinho loves him. So this is part, I think he's trying to, part of it is the rest of the players in the team need to come up with, you know, if they can sort their attitude out and bring it to the level of someone like Lukaku, who I think his attitude is 100% spot on. His work rate, his commitment, he doesn't let his head drop when things are going bad. He works for the team, not himself. You know, these things that are, and he's a big sort of, you know, he'll motivate players. He really loves, you can see he loves playing football. If the really talented players in the squad had that level of attitude and that commitment, then you'd see Mourinho would trust them a lot more. And I think that's part of it as well.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, certainly makes sense, and will be interesting to see how this pans out. He tends to, as a manager, Mourinho, be on this three-year cycle throughout clubs. He brought that into the club. Just curious to hear if his comments have changed the duration that you think he'll be at the club, and if you do think that three-year time window sounds about right, or since this kind of seemed to be his dream job, if you think he'll be there for a longer period of time than that. He did, to be fair, mention a project at Manchester United, which might be the first time he's ever said that word.
So for me, I've always believed that Jose Mourinho has gone around the way I think he's been quite calculated in his career in terms of where he's gone. He's won league titles in Portugal, in England, in Italy, in Spain. It's no coincidence that other than Portugal, they're like three biggest sort of leagues in Europe. Germany is probably the only one missing, but then the only club he'd probably go to is Bayern, and Pep has already been there and he probably can't be bothered. But I think he's been quite calculated. What's missing throughout his career is an international job, which I think he may come to later on in his career, but B, and I think this is the one that before he joined United and even when Alex Ferguson was still at the club, I thought he really wants to build, you know, what we would call a legacy or a dynasty, you know, to try and, because, you know, no, if you, just because you go around to lots of different clubs winning lots of stuff, I think it still puts you on that tier below someone like Sir Alex Ferguson, who did it, who built a massive dynasty at Manchester United, and prior to that broke up the old firm with Aberdeen. So, you know, we've got pedigree, we've got achievement, we've got cycles at the club, and we've got manager that's evolved with the times over three decades at a single club, right? He's built this legacy. He's Manchester United and Alex Ferguson go hand in hand, and you know that's what Jose Mourinho has been missing. Now, before I signed for us, I thought that's what he's looking for, and that's, you know, why United was his dream job, because he knew we'd give him the time, he knew we'd give him the support, even the fan base. You know, we're a very patient lot, as you can see from the way in which we dealt with Moyes and Louis van Gaal. You know, generally speaking, we're not over the years, we're not, even when like Moyes was at his lowest, you know, even I was against this whole plane banner and all that kind of stuff. Give the man a bit of dignity. But anyway, I think that's what he was looking for. Now, I still think that's what he's looking for. I don't think he's not going to go in the summer. I mean, that would be ludicrous, barring some implosion like at Chelsea and the whole Eva Canero thing. I don't know, he may manufacture something like that, and I think he'll be here next year. My question is whether he's up for it, like really truly up for it, like he used to be, you know. And I think I don't think he's past it. I think what he needs to work out in his head is how up for it is he, because he's come to United and he recognizes that it's actually a bigger job than people thought, even with the amount of money spent, right? Because the money spent was just spent on dross for the majority of the transfers before he arrived. And there's a lot of work to be done there. And I touched upon the fullback situation as an example. So it's up to him now. And I personally think that he's still got it in him. You can see it every now and then. I just want him to be a bit more consistent. And I'm a bit of an optimist as well, in the sense that I think that I'm hopeful that, you know, these kind of events, these kind of him, that sort of 12-minute speech that he went on was kind of him saying, look, I'm the boss. I'm here, going to be here for a long time. I want this to succeed, as opposed to, you know, a speech which had the tone of just leave me alone, I'm doing my best here. You know, there's that kind of, there's a bit of a fine line there, but hopefully it's leaning more towards the he's digging himself in for the long haul. because I still rate him. Look, he won two trophies last season with a pretty poor squad. Yes, the style of football has been great, but we're now, you know, second place. We're FA Cup semi-finals against Spurs. So it's not been a disaster, but I think the manner of the defeat at Sevilla and the manner in which Man City are just totally dominating is just amplifying the sort of deficiencies that when we do see them. So I think the 3 year, I would still probably, whilst I'd like him to be there for the long term, because that would suggest he's improving every year and he's going in the right direction, I still think the 3 year timescale is probably accurate at the moment, because it just depends on his mentality. I think next year, if he doesn't win the league, he may again implode by the end of the year. I don't know, we'll see. It's a difficult one to gauge with him, but I've always felt that he wants this sort of legacy club, and United is set up for him to do that. If he can grasp that opportunity, that's the only question.
Yeah, you mentioned the season that you're having this year, which is not terrible by any stretch. And also, we did mention on the full show yesterday that in any normal season, you'd be title contenders right now, had it not been for this kind of crazy burst by Manchester City this season. What have you made of Manchester United seasons on the whole?
You know, on the whole, it's the problem is it's the way in which we've sort of fallen away, if that makes sense. So League Cup, knocked out by a lower league team with a really pathetic performance. Champions League, knocked out by a lower tier European club, without being disrespectful, because they played us off the park, so it's difficult for me to justify that label. But in terms of stature of the club and players on paper, you know, we should be beating Sevilla. And they then go off and the next match they lose 2-0 away at Leganes, right? So it tells you that they're not like top level, elite level club. So it's the manner in which we dropped out of those competitions which will have stung the most, and then the manner in which we lost against City at home. We approached certain games, and we've had certain matches in the league where we've kind of been like, "What the hell is going on?" So let's put it this way: last season we finished sixth. This season we're in second place. That's a four place jump. So that's got, at the moment, obviously there's still a few matches to go, you know, more than a few matches to go. But if we were to finish in second, then you'd say that's a significant improvement. And then, but then you look at the season and you go, well, if we don't win the FA Cup and there's no silverware, then it can't be a successful season in any definition of the books. For me, you always have to be putting a silver, putting a trophy in the cabinet to say in any way that it's a successful season. So, but when you look at it at the beginning of the year, when we came into the season, yeah, we wanted to be challenging for the league. And as you say, City are putting up a freak season. And unfortunately, we're not challenging for the league. In other seasons, we may be challenging. I don't think we'd be top, but we'd be challenging much closer. So that's put a bit of a negative spin on the league. And then when you look at the cups, you start the season saying we want to try and win all of them, but you're never going to win all of them. Nobody's ever won all of them in England. We won the treble but didn't win the League Cup. So you're going to have to drop some of them. And realistically, we weren't going to win the Champions League. Just the level of competition and quality of that competition just wasn't going to happen, you know. And then you're left with the FA Cup and League Cup. And it's, again, difficult to say at the beginning of the season, oh, yeah, we'll definitely win those two. So when you look at it logically and you look at it with a sort of, again, like that pragmatic thinking cap, if we were to end up with the FA Cup at the end of the year, it's not a disaster season. It's not a hugely successful one in terms of the league and Champions League, those big, big trophies. But again, it's a trophy in the cabinet. It's progress in the league. And it's another year of learning. So you sort of, you take it and you go on. But it's all skewed by A, City's just their form, and B, the way in which we got knocked out of the Champions League. I think that is the thing that is the biggest bugbear with United fans. It's the way in which we sort of dropped out against Sevilla. And it was frankly embarrassing watching that. And, you know, it's probably the angriest I've been after a football match for a very, very long time. And that's including the Moyes season and the Van Gaal season, you know, because I just didn't understand the approach at all. We go from beating Liverpool, come back against Palace, beating Chelsea, and then he completely changes it up. He throws Marouane Fellaini in, which, I mean, I see the merit in other situations, but he hadn't played for months on end, and suddenly he's just chucked straight in a key tie. Rashford, playing really well down the left, made an impact against Palace, made an impact against Liverpool and Chelsea down the left, so he plays him down the right against Sevilla. So these are things that he kind of has to take ownership of and say he fucked up. And I think that's why he's come out and with this 12-minute sort of speech that he went off on one, because he knows deep down he did that. He did screw up, and he can't lay it all on the players. But then that's also why he waited for a win in the FA Cup to then start criticizing players. Because you do it after a win, it's kind of like, yeah, we won, but, you know, this is what happens. They need to be better in this area, this area, this area. So you're kind of not necessarily shoving all of the blame for the severe stuff on the players, but you're also highlighting it and calling it out, which I don't mind, actually, because Ferguson did it. There was a famous YouTube video. Aberdeen have just won the cup. The players are celebrating in the background, and Ferguson's there going, "No, that was a disgraceful performance, absolutely disgraceful." And he's going on a rant about how poor the standards were in that match, and he was like, "These are not the standards that I've set myself at Aberdeen." You know, so he did it. It's fine. I don't mind that, but it needs to be done at the right time. And I would prefer it if he took a bit of ownership for things like the Sevilla game, because he just came out, look, instead of trying to defend the position and defend what happened and saying Sevilla are this really great side, which, you know, they are a good side, obviously, because they beat us and they're in the Champions League. But he shouldn't be deflecting like that. He should be, I think, he should take a bit of ownership as well.
All right, now we're going to answer some fan questions that were sent in to you. We've already addressed a couple of them. One of them was about players earning loads of money at Manchester United. They can afford the best professional help in terms of diet, psychology, and fitness. Is there an excuse not to give 100% to the club? We pretty much thoroughly covered that with Luke Shaw already.
I don't think there's any, just to go on, I don't think there's no excuse, really, to be honest. They're like I said earlier, they're set up to be playing at the highest level, whatever.
Yeah.
The only thing is, obviously, there are personal... I won't ever, like, say, for example, last season, Pogba's dad passing away. No matter how much money you have, no matter how much, you know, sports scientists there are and all that, that kind of thing, you just can't legislate for. And that's why I kind of brought up the injury to Luke Shaw. You know, maybe that is just played on his mind so much that he fluctuates in his commitment and his determination in training or his work rate. And maybe he fluctuates mentally, you know. So I'm not trying to be mean. I am cognizant of all of these factors. But when you look at it on paper, the pure facts of the matter are they're set up to succeed.
Yeah. A couple questions about Mourinho's tactics at StezMUFC asking, why doesn't he play the Manchester United way? And Ashik Rao 23 asking, did we always have an identity and attack under Sir Alex? I remember a lot of boring matches under Fergie and a few matches where he set up to negate as well. What do you think of the tactics under Mourinho? Is there a clear Manchester United way? Did Fergie always stick to it? And is Mourinho not?
I think there is a clear Manchester United way, and that's like playing without fear. Going out, it's not necessarily all-out attack every match. It's not outscore the opposition in every game, like, you know, the Keegan's Newcastle team, perhaps. You know, that's not what it was, but it was like going out there, playing without fear, taking responsibility. And we've always, I mean, one of the other things is like we've traditionally played with wingers, but we don't necessarily play that way anymore. And maybe the game's evolved because you need your wingers to be doing more than just crossing. But I think the idea that you know, going out and playing without fear, I would say, is the Manchester United way. And you see it when you look at it through all of Fergie's teams. You know, you always had a mixture of sort of that talent and ability, but also that physical sort of intimidation. He always had it, you know, like he had the likes of Mark Hughes, Paul Ince, Steve Bruce back in the day, you know, Eric Cantona, he could look after himself. Then you got Roy Keane, even Cristiano Ronaldo. Look, would be when he came to the, he was a kid, but where as he matured, he was brave. He led by example. You know, he got not stuck in the sense that he'd go in with sliding tackles, but he put his head in. He would go after. He would always make sure that he was the one getting on the end of crosses. Or, you know, there was that amazing header against Roma that I remember where he got taken out, but the only thing in his mind was getting the header in and scoring the goal. So this it's a being, you know, it's like being brave, not having any fear, taking responsibility. This is another thing that Ferguson used to say was, look, you know, we'd set them up, they can go out. Once they, you know, once they're on the pitch, you expect your players be able to take responsibility, read the game, read the situation, and maybe have the balls to do something that the manager may not like at the time, but you've made the decision. If you can stand up, if you've got the character to stand up and say, well, this is why I did it, you know. And it's been sort of taken out of the United team because of Louis van Gaal's very much prescribed way of playing. And I think Jose Mourinho is trying to give his players that responsibility, but the team as a whole are mentally fragile. You know, they've highs against Liverpool. You know, I thought the comeback wins against Chelsea and Palace was starting to cement a bit more of that mental strength. But then things weren't working out for them against Sevilla, and things, nobody wanted to take responsibility. Nobody stepped up. So he wants his teams to do that. And that's what he's talking about with Pogba as well. The idea that, yes, he's a supremely talented footballer, but you take one for the team, you take responsibility, you read the situation, you do what's necessary in that moment to get the team going forward. And then you work out, well, I like drifting forward and playing these great passes, you know. And this is why I called out Lukaku earlier. That's what he does. You know, he doesn't always play for himself. He plays for the team. He works hard. He doesn't always come off, you know, in whatever he's trying to do. But he doesn't let his head drop. But he tries to do as much as he can to get the team going forward. And this is what he's looking for. And I think this is one of the reasons he signed Alexis Sanchez. Hasn't quite worked out. But, you know, the building blocks are there, but I think there's a mental gap in the squad which Mourinho is desperately trying to fill and trying to work out how to work that out. And it'll be interesting to see how he gets on with that.
Yeah, and then we'll wrap up with one last tactical question of Akash Patel 94, saying, do you think that Mourinho's tactics and approach and management style are outdated in the modern game?
I don't think so. This is the other thing, is he's second in the league, you know, he's only behind Pep Guardiola.
Historically fantastic City side.
Exactly. It's a really good side. And over the years, we won two trophies last season. You know, maybe at Chelsea, his final season didn't quite work out, but he won the league the season before that. So it's not like he's going through some barren patch where, you know, 6, 7, 8 years without a trophy, having won loads, then you could see like a clear demarcation that maybe he's not evolving. And maybe he isn't evolving, maybe his powers are on the wane and we've seen the beginning of that. But at the same time, you can't say he's totally outdated, and like Klopp and Pochettino and Conte and all these other guys have much better tactical acumen and plans when they're all below him in the league. So you've got to try and be a little bit balanced with the way you look at these things. So I would like to see him be a bit looser, but give a little bit more freedom to the attackers. Maybe it's not freedom. Maybe it's give them a bit more structure. I'm not 100% sure exactly what's going on with why we're so disjointed up front. Some people say it's because Mourinho is so rigid. Other people say it's because we don't coach sort of attacking systems. Maybe it's a combination of both. So obviously he needs to get that right with the attacking talent he has in the squad. We should be a very, very good attacking unit, but we're not. So there are issues there. But I wouldn't say, I mean, the evidence shows us that his tactics aren't outdated. It might just be a case of, well, this season they're not quite good enough with the players that he's got to match Pep Guardiola and the players that he has. So, you know, we'll see time will tell, but at the moment you can't come to that conclusion.
Absolutely fair. Any parting thoughts?
I don't know whether whether this pod has sounded like quite a big defense of Mourinho. And maybe it's come across that way. And look, I was fuming after that Sevilla game, and I think that he needs to sort a lot out and to win over quite a lot. I think for a lot of fans that was a sort of turning point. And even for me on the night, I was like, I did point out that at another club like Bayern, Barcelona, Real Madrid, that result against Sevilla would mean that he would be gone at the end of the season without question, right? We know that. I mean, look at and PSG as well. You know, they're going to get rid of their guy at the end of the year and look for someone else. So this isn't supposed to be a defense of Mourinho. It's more about trying to put that more of a pragmatic hat on and look at it from all angles. But certainly I wasn't happy with the Sevilla defeat, but I can also look at the rest of the season and say there are positives here and there. And hopefully we sort of turn it around in terms of the challenging for the title next season. Maybe we pick up the FA Cup this year. So it's not all bad is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, hopefully he sorts it out.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, we will end on that note. Josh, you tell the folks where they can find you.
Cool. Thanks a lot for having me on. You can find me on Twitter at @doc_Joshy. I'm also feature on Full Time Devils YouTube channel quite a bit. Obviously this pod and other podcasts. And I do a bit of sports writing, sports science writing, and other sort of health technology stuff, which you can find on my website. Which is .joshy.co.uk.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Hopefully the United fans enjoyed this more than the one yesterday. And we hope you keep listening.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.